coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
You know, I don't say this lightly, but someone or a group of someone's will be murdered, and that's going to start it all. 247 years ago today, April 19th, 1775, was the Battle of Lexington and Concord. That was the actual kickoff of the American Revolution. And why that's important, of course, is the Lexington and Concord, that battle was the very first military conflict of the Revolutionary War. The battle helped to create this unity among the colonists. In this battle, the American patriots succeeded by having this very strategic victory over their oppressors. And their oppressors in this case were the British Royal Force. And this really boosted up the morale of the colonists, of the patriots, so much. I mean, that's how important this was. The battle also more or less shut the diplomatic doors of diplomatic negotiations between the patriots of the 13 colonies and the British oppressors of the colonists. So this is a day in history that I think we're close to seeing again, all right? The American Revolution, if you're able to, and I know we had some computer issues due to some power problems, but if you're able to, show that image of the American Revolution, the Battle of Lexington and Concord. Of course, this is the start of it. And obviously, it was a bloody battle. It was horrific, as all wars are horrific. But this is an important day, an important time for us. Now, what I want to really convey to you again today is, instead of the British oppressors, there are those, but there are many others, globalists specifically, who are our enemies as opposed to the British. And we have to identify them. And we have to isolate them. And we have to, in my view anyway, we have to make them impotent from this point forward. Otherwise, we will lose everything that we have worked for. You know, I wrote something back, a month or two ago, about Thomas Paine, about his works, and, you know, the things that were spoken only in hushed tones, and they were relentlessly mocked, the conspiracy theories and such. The existence of a cabal, for example, so despicably evil, is now really well known, at least to those paying attention. And those people, their wiles, their deviant strategies, injurious to all areas of our lives within the entire fabric of our moral societies, they're now on public display. I want to get into some of the tactics that are being used contemporaneously and where this will lead to bring me to the conclusion that someone or a group of someone's will be murdered, and that will be the start of it all. I want to play first. Again, think of this as the American Revolution 2.0. There was a time period before Lexington and Concord that took place. There was a very unsettling 4 or 5 years in that time period, if you know the American Revolution, where certain things happened before Lexington and Concord that created the sense that this foreboding that something was going to happen, and hence it did on April 19th, 1775. But instead of the British now, if you're thinking about the Revolutionary War, think about now the globalists, but also think about the enemies inside this country, and especially inside this country. When I say enemies, I'm not using that term lightly. The enemies of freedom, the enemies who want to create this autocracy, this oligarchy, this tyrannical empire that they and only they run, and with the fruits that they and only they enjoy. That's an insult to those who came before us and died, our forefathers, our fathers, grandfathers who fought in the various wars. And it's an insult to those who are paying the price right now. And there are many paying the price right now. But I want to display this video. This is from Band Video. This will give you the cruising altitude view. And this was a very, very well done. The link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. You can see the source of this. You can watch it independent of this broadcast. But this has to do with Klaus Schwab, Bill Gates, and others. It has to do with carbon taxes. It has to do with even something more demonic and upsetting than that. And that's what they really have done to us. This is an admission as much as it is in laying out the plans for our immediate future. And by the way, those plans include death, impairment through these mutagenic jabs they call vaccines, the actual SARS-CoV-2 release, the edicts, unlawful, illegal edicts, and other things that are taking place. And you may see wins, like, for example, yesterday. Oh, the airlines. The judge overruled the mandate for the airlines. Okay. You may see small wins like that. But that's what they are, small wins, minor wins. Because if you think that the globalists are going to go down without a fight, no, you're sadly mistaken. So I want to show you this video. Again, the source on this is Band Video, band.video. This is InfoWars. I'm going to be talking about InfoWars too. It's important what's going on there. And some other things, including libs of TikTok and the Washington Post and some of the threats that we face right now that could change everything in the click of a mouse or the push of a enter button or a return button on your keyboard. But watch this video. It's a little over 4 minutes in length. And pay very close attention to every word of this, please, because there's not really a misspoken word in any of this. Go ahead.
In some cases, carbon taxes will be used to drive the demand for these clean products. And only by doing that in an aggressive way will the economic costs be brought down enough that we can turn to all the middle income countries and say, okay, you know, change your whole cement industry, change your whole steel industry. And yet, you know, it's not holding you back from, you know, your economic growth.
Okay, if you can pause that for a second. And Key, because of our computer problems, just leave that image up, that video up. In place of carbon tax, think about the American Revolution, the Stamp Act, the all of the taxes and the affronts that led up to the Kinetic War that is known as the American Revolution. Replace those with things like carbon tax, Stamp Act, tea tax, whatever. No. Look at the American Revolution 2.0. This is a worldwide revolution, but this is what we're fighting against, this globalist structure. And I would dare say there, in my opinion, is perhaps the leader of the anti-nationalist movement, the pro-populist or the pro-globalist public enemy number one, or maybe 1B. I don't know. But there he is. Okay, continue with this.
of companies working on these things is very exciting. And some of them will fail. A lot of them will fail. But, you know, we only need a reasonable number, a few dozen of them, to make it through. And that's what we have to accelerate.
With all the current issues on our agenda, we tend to forget that we are in the midst of the fourth industrial revolution, which accelerates global change in much more comprehensive and faster ways than the previous three revolutions.
And you see, the difference of this fourth industrial revolution is it doesn't change what you are doing. It changes you. If you take a genetic editing, just as an example, it's you who are changed.
Okay, pause that. Of course this has- Did you hear what he just said? If you take a genetic editing, what could that be? And how hard is it for all of us to convince all of them, and by them I mean the coworkers, family, friends, whatever. What did you take? Genetic editing, perhaps? Okay, continue.
That's a big impact on your identity.
We need to realize that humans are now hackable animals. You can hack them.
A good two-way communication system, direct communication system between brains and computers, this is kind of the watershed moment. I mean, once you have a good two-way, nobody has any idea what happens after that.
Well, I think maybe in a couple of decades when people look back, the thing they will remember from the COVID crisis is this is the moment when everything went digital. And if this was the moment when everything became monitored, that we agreed to be surveyed all the time, not just in authoritarian machines, but even in democracies. And maybe most importantly at all, this was the moment when surveillance started going under the skin. I think that the big process that's happening right now in the world is hacking human beings, the ability to hack humans, to understand deeply what's happening within you, what makes you go. And for that, the most important data is not what you read and who you meet and what you buy, it's what's happening inside your body. So we had these two big revolutions, the computer science revolution, or the infotech revolution, and the revolution in the biological sciences. And they are still separate, but they are about to merge.
History is truly at a turning point. We do not yet know the full extent and the systemic and structural changes which will happen. However, we do know that global energy systems, food systems, and supply chains will be deeply affected. But the fourth industrial revolution is actually changing ourselves. It's changing not only what we are doing, it's changing who we are.
What the fourth industrial revolution will lead to is a fusion of our physical, our digital, and our biological identities.
Smartphones and governments using that technology and a greater threat of surveillance. Can you talk to me about this? And do you think ultimately this is a good or a bad thing for civilization?
It could be good, but we need to be very careful about it. What's happening now, it's really a watershed in the history of surveillance. First of all, we see mass surveillance systems entering and being adopted in democratic countries which previously resisted them. Secondly, we see the nature of surveillance changing from over-the-skin surveillance to under-the-skin surveillance.
All right. That was put together by the Thrive Times show. And again, the link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com and posted on band.video and other locations. Now, you heard a number of things there. And where we're at today, I don't believe anything can stop what they're doing short of kinetic warfare. Again, I'm not advocating for this, but that's the only thing I can see that will stop what is coming. And let me give you a little kind of insight into what's coming. Back in 1948, there's a photograph taken, and this has been verified. This has been authenticated. This happened. This is the poverty. This was the result of a number of a confluence of events that we're not too far away from in terms of food and in terms of employment. When I say employment, I'm talking about, inflation. Food inflation, the farming communities and such. I want you to take a look at this photograph. This again is from 1948. This is for the radio listeners. This is a picture of a woman standing on her porch, and there's four children seated in front of her. Now she's embarrassed. Her head is turned away. There's a sign to the right of the children. Four children. The number four, children for sale, inquire within. Now, this was, again, 1948 in America. And people are saying, well, hey, none of this can happen here. The very people you heard moments ago, Klaus Schwab, that other Muppet, talking about surveillance from within. Okay, these are the people, Bill Gates, these are the people who are responsible for creating this infrastructure of demise. All right, now, again, that's a very unsettling picture. I don't know about you, but that breaks my heart to see that. Look at those beautiful little children, and who knows what their disposition was, or in the near term here with children. I can see this happening again. There's starvation. Remember, Schwab said food and supply chain issues. This is all part of their plan. They're never going to be the same. They're never going to recover. Food and supply chain issues. Now, if we can go a little bit out of, rotation here, Eric the Tech, speaking of supply chain, I did send you a photograph or an image from Skyglass that has China Port, Shanghai China Port. If you want to know how bad things are, I know Monkey Works does that's a YouTube channel, Monkey Works with an X. He does situation updates every couple of days, I believe it is. It could be every day, every couple of days. But if you want to take a look at what's currently taking place at the Shanghai port, remember Shanghai is shut down under the pretext of this new COVID outbreak. And what you're seeing on the screen for radio listeners is to the left of the screen is mainland China, the port of Shanghai in interior a ways, but this multitude of green dots. Those green dots, if it's a green dot, that's a cargo ship. If it's a red dot, that's an oil tanker. And if it's a dot, that means it's at anchor. It's not moving. If now you'll see on the picture as well, little arrows indicating movement of some of the ships. Not many, but some. That movement essentially is just to keep their engines going, to move a little bit. I mean, there's no meaningful movement there, but look at that photograph. And again, for radio listeners, it would be like just a green blob indicating thousands of ships that cannot take stock from Shanghai. Now, this is our supply chain right now. This is what Kissinger and Nixon and during that period of time, this is what they did. They opened up China to trade. Most of the manufacturing went to China, including pharmaceuticals, medical supplies, and what have you. And this is what happens when you do that when you go in business with a communist country. Okay. Now, at the most optimistic scenario, you're looking at a year to unscrew this. Even if a ship left Shanghai, it would take, just over 2 weeks couple of days over 2 weeks at best to make it from Shanghai to one of the ports on the West Coast, perhaps. And then there's the issue of offloading and then transporting to wherever, whatever warehouse or whatever destination would happen subsequently. So if you're looking to buy cars, you know, that have computer chips in them, computers that have chips in them, chips at all, hey, Frito-Lay chips even. But no, I'm kidding on that, but you get the idea. All of the imports from China, there they are. Period. And that hasn't changed. If you look at the different Skyglass images of that area, that's only gotten worse. It hasn't gotten any better. That has not changed, and I don't expect that to change. The coming lockdowns, and there will be more, under the pretext of perhaps another variant or another virus or another whatever, release of whatever, but equally important, the climate. You heard them say, the climate lockdown, or the carbon taxes will be used to drive demand toward this renewable energy, this green agenda. The green agenda is a subset of the Great Reset, which is a subset, or another way of saying Agenda 2030. Okay. Now, that's the scenario. Yeah, and I'm sure you knew this, but maybe someone else watching this didn't. If you did know all of this, congratulations. I applaud you. If you didn't, or if you do, hey, show this to someone who doesn't know. Now, what's taking place right now in this run-up to our Concord and Lexington and Concord moment? Something happened yesterday that really, in my view, epitomizes the war and how this is going to go kinetic. You know, the left, the globalists, the one thing they're afraid of is for the average person like you and I, and like the people you know, to really learn their agenda. One of the more popular social networking sites on Twitter, Libs of TikTok, and the owner was on, without being named, was on with Tucker Carlson a couple of times. Now this owner has been threatened, physically threatened to be raped, to be killed. I mean, some of the threats were vile. So here is what the, and let me kind of back up a little bit. Part of the attack strategy of the British, I'm sorry, of the globalists, is to cause rot from within. Let me show you this. This is a screenshot. Yesterday, the woman behind Libs of TikTok, this social networking site, was doxxed. Her personal information was made known to the world. The Washington Post, owned by Bezos, put this woman, the owner of Libs of TikTok, put her personal, I mean, basically all the information, her family information, out for everyone to see. Now, the Washington Post, of course, whose byline, democracy dies in darkness. Meet the woman behind Libs of TikTok, secretly fueling the rights outrage machine. Now, to those of you who are not on Twitter, and I fully understand, some of us have to monitor, have an account and monitor what's going on. All this woman did and has been doing and is continuing to do is show videos that were posted on TikTok of teachers, of other social influencers, of people in positions of power, how they are attacking our society. In their own words, these people would post videos saying, this is what we're doing. The owner of Libs of TikTok would post it and say, see, in their own words, basically, this is what they're doing. And some of the videos are so hideous and heinous their agendas. You've got school teachers. You've got professors in secondary education. You've got leaders in corporate leaders and in government. I mean, the exposure was too much for them, so they had to do something. And they did it yesterday. They pulled the trigger yesterday. And this, of course, was following a segment with the woman, the owner, on Libs of TikTok, having her on. I want to show you, I mean, if you want an example for, I mean, if you want an example of what Libs of TikTok display, and I ask that you kind of stomach through this. If we can go to clip number 2, this is a teacher. Now, I want you to pay attention to this. This is only 40 seconds or 39 seconds. Diversity is my favorite thing to teach, states non-binary preschool teacher who also makes four-year-olds pick a pronoun pin every day to wear. This is indoctrination of our children in schools in this country. Watch this, 39 seconds. And this is what Libs, this is the sin of Libs of TikTok, the owner. I'm not going to name the owner. This is what war was declared on her for. This and other clips like this to expose this. And again, I know it's going to be a little hard to get through. There's no profanity or anything like that, except the whole thing is profane. But watch this.
Hi, my name's Az and I'm a preschool teacher. So my classroom celebrates diversity. It's probably my favorite thing to teach. We usually use kids' books to talk about this kind of thing. Recently we started wearing pronoun pins, and the kids get to pick a new pronoun pin every day. We have some that pick like she, her every single day, and we have some that change it up. So diversity is really important in my class. So I recently realized that there's a whole lot of really amazing figureheads and people to look up to in this world, who aren't white or straight or male or have what have you, and that we should learn a little bit more about these people.
All right, there it is. Okay, hey, that's offensive, right? It's only offensive if the left doesn't want the parents to know, us to know, what their agenda, what their tactics, what their approach, and what they're doing to our children and with our children. But this goes on and on, on and on and on. So the person behind this doxing or this telling others, writing for the Washington Post, identifying the person behind Libs of TikTok, is a female by the name of Taylor Lorenz. Here she is again in a very short clip on MSNBC crying about how she herself was doxxed and what happened, the result, how she reacted to it or what it caused. Watch this. This is the person who did the doxxing. Watch this.
Every single social tie, I had severe PTSD from this. I contemplated suicide. It got really bad. You feel like any little piece of information that gets out on you will be used by the worst people on the internet to destroy your life. And it's so isolating.
And terrifying.
It's horrifying. I'm so sorry.
You're fine. You're
it's overwhelming. It's
okay,
really
you can stop
hard.
You can stop this rot gut right now. All right. You see the hypocrisy. All right. There it is, Taylor Lorenz on MSNBC crying about herself being doxxed. Meanwhile, the owner of Libs of TikTok had to leave her residence. Her family has been harassed by others already since the doxxing. She had to leave her residence. And look, I know this as a tactic. When we speak, like with Coach Dave Dobmeier, and I know Coach is under attack, and I know others, when we speak about the fact that homosexuality is should not be celebrated, all right, we get packages with all sorts of profane things. We get death threats. There's a lot of things that you don't see. And you know, people say, well, why don't you call the police? Well, what are they going to do? Right? So you got to use condom in the mail, huh? Okay. Well, you want us to run a DNA check.
Yeah.
Oh, so you got a death threat. Well, you know what? In our experience, it doesn't go anywhere. So this is happening not only to us, but many, many others. This is one strategy. And here's another strategy, very quickly. The rumor was, or the news was, Alex Jones files for bankruptcy, Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Now, that's really not the truth. That's not what happened. Here's Alex Jones. This is another strategy, and this is one that we're very, very intimately familiar with. I cannot say anything more legally, but intimately familiar with. But it is a devastating strategy. Here's Alex in clip number 3. This is his statement about the bankruptcy filing, just to make things a little bit more clear for those maybe you didn't know about this. He explains it right here.
When you see all these headlines out there, did Alex Jones InfoWars declare bankruptcy? The answer is no. The bankruptcy for my affiliate companies is designed to pay all of my creditors in full. Alex Jones, yours truly, gave up all rights to his membership interest in the debtor's bankruptcy to a trust created to hold that interest and backstop payments and claims. Number 4, I'm confident the federal system has the tools and experience to fairly deal with the resolution of these claims. Now, here's what's important. Again, the corporate media and these individuals know that we don't have all this money. The plan is to try to get judgments that are giant and large that can't be paid, so they can close our doors here and try to keep me from being on the air elsewhere, which they're not going to be able to do. In fact, if anything, it makes me work harder and value the First Amendment even more. That said, my fate is tied to your fate, and this country and this world is in a lot of trouble, and so we're all going to share in this misery together.
All right. He gets into it, and I had another segment to play, but I don't want to keep Standale waiting. The fact of the matter is this: lawfare is nothing new, but lawfare is a tactic of the left, and the judges that were placed into their positions. Why do you think that is? Hey, in one of the filings that Alex showed during that broadcast, he's not allowed to talk about the First Amendment. He's not allowed to talk about that in court whatsoever. I mean, this is how bad things are. So the only thing at this point, and here's why I started by saying that someone or a group of someone's is going to be murdered and that's going to be the start of it all, is because we've got starvation coming. We've got compliments of the, or because of the globalists. And notice too that Schwab said, or Gates said in his glee, that it only takes a handful, you know, dozen or two corporations or businesses to really create a supply problem. That's what's happening right now with the wheat and the other commodities. So I want to just drive this home. What is going to happen next could very well lead to our Lexington and Concord 2022 2.0. It is all of this is not coming. All of this is here. Starvation is coming to America. Planned starvation. Death of our citizens coming to America. The invasion in our southern border already happening, about ready to get worse by dropping Title 42. That's by plan. That's by design. That's not by any other means. So go ahead and celebrate the wins of, hey, little wins, masks, no masks on airlines or public transportation. That can change in a heartbeat, and I guarantee it will, because the next lockdown that's coming will include, in my view, based on all of the evidence I have, disarming the public, making sure that the public has no access to beef, no access to protein, chicken, whatever. They're going to force us to eat grubs and bugs and that kind of thing. And meanwhile, they're going to hold our children and are holding our children captive through this indoctrination that's taking place right now. And that is the state of affairs today, April 19th, 2022, some 247 years after Lexington and Concord. It's that moment is coming again. Before I get to Stan, I would just want to tell you, you know, we still have to take care of business. I'm going to thank the people who support us. Thank you so very, very much. And the corporate sponsors who support us. And we still have to take care of business. We still have to deal with credit cards and bank statements and all this and that. And it can be frustrating to feel like your credit card debt is getting in the way of your life goals. And I mean this because when you look at your statements, my goodness, the interest you're paying is just out of sight. And if you're tired of paying high interest credit card rates or rates on your credit card debt, check out LightStream. Please do that. Please do that today. These people are great. They can help you. A lot of people don't realize this, but the credit cards can have terribly high interest rates. And I know that doesn't come as a surprise to most of you, but some it does. Even if you've got excellent credit, your APR could be as high as 20, 30%, even higher. So go to lightstream.com/Hagman. Loans range from $5,000 to $100,000. You can roll your credit cards into one low payment, fixed rate, as low as 5.73% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. It's way lower than most credit cards. So if you've got a lot of credit card debt that's been hanging around for a while and you feel stuck with those high rates, check out lightstream.com/Hagman, two N's on Hagman. Apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. Again, just go to lightstream.com/Hagman, H-A-G-M-A-N-N. That's LIGHTSTREAM, lightstream.com/Hagman. Two N's on Hagman. This is subject to credit approval. Rates range from 5.73% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. You will thank me later. You will be glad you did. And trust me, we have a lot of people who have taken advantage of that offer and have thanked me on that, as we have too. So thank you, lightstream.com/Hagman. Appreciate you. All right, Stan Dale from standale.com. Talking about appreciating people. Here's a guy that we lost power today and everything went sideways and we had kept him waiting. So without further ado, Stan Dale from standale.com. I'm going to tell you what, folks, EMPShield.com, now is the time to get it. Speaking of power outages, who knows when an EMP event might take place. This is something that will protect your equipment. If it does, EMPShield.com, use promo code Hagman for $50 off. And once again, you will thank me later. I know a lot of people who have purchased these and ourselves, and the fact that we've got them on vehicles, generators, and our homes and studio here. Let me tell you, you need this. So that's EMPShield.com, promo code Hagman for $50 off. All right, Stan Dale from standale.com. Stan, thanks for waiting. Thanks for being so patient. How are you?
I'm fine. Yeah, I've been here on this street corner putting weight on one foot, then on the other one. What's he talking about now? Yeah, okay.
Oh, man.
It's been an interesting day. So in the evening, we're allowed to let off steam here.
That's right. You know, one of these days, I really want to come out there and we can fire up a Cuban and drink some cognac. And I'm kidding, of course. But, you know, we can sit around the campfire and talk.
We do have one of those chimeneas that, you know, the Mexican clay pots that you put firewood in up on the deck. Yep. And it's right over there. And plenty of firewood. I got about 8 cords stacked out there at the moment and on a deck overlooking the Spanish peaks of the Rockies over that way and Pikes Peak over that way and the Air Force Base and all that stuff over there too. And yeah, it's a wonderful place and a good place for a stogie and a glass of something.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. And folks, make sure you support Stan and Holly Day on their Patreon. I've got to tell you, again, I missed it on Sunday. The last one I missed, I apologize. We just had so much going on, but, what a great event. Patreon, go to standale.com and sign up for his Patreon. And, boy, I'll tell you what, it's really worth it. Stan really drives it home, all the important stuff. So Stan, what's on your mind and take it?
Well, lots of things. Things to do with EMPs from the sun and you know, the threat of war and nukes. You know, when we talk about EMP, just before I start on the main stuff here, people get these EMP shields for thinking about mainly the nuclear bomb sets off an EMP pulse. And that pulse might be 7 millionths of a second in duration. It's pretty, you know, pretty quick. But the real issue with our EMP shields is the solar CMEs and flares that produce coronal mass ejections and EMP pulses all at the same time. Those things can last for hours, and they can be very, very powerful. Now, our device is made to dump like 60,000 amps. I mean, it's good to ground this when it comes in. Now, you put this on your house, let's say, and there is a solar EMP in progress for hours. Well, you're going to see things like fires, you know, started by, on the power poles that feed your house way out the back. And, you know, large arcs will be jumping off, probably, let's say large, maybe 3 or 4 inches to ground. And some of them may draw out the longer arcs than that, but they will make fires around, you know, those power poles. Now, that kind of stuff, if it were, and it does, if it comes into your breaker box in your house through the transformer that steps down that voltage, the normal line voltage, then you're going to see a large, huge, high voltage, high current thing going into your breaker box. Now, you don't want it to go into all the other circuits in the house. You don't want it to go in there and start fires in the wiring, burn your house down. So this is why the EMP shield is so good as a heavy duty, long-term, long enduring type device to take all that high voltage coming into your house and shunt it down into the ground. And this is why I stress the fact that be sure that you've got a good ground hooked up to your breaker box so that you can dump all that stuff down into the earth instead of into your house. This is one of the main reasons that our device is so, it's unique in this respect. It can take a hit like that for hours. It could take it 40, 50 times without burning out. So anyway, it's just, you know, make sure your ground is good and deep, and be able to maybe take an axe or a hammer if you need to that's insulated from electrical conductivity. You may have to break your mains wire loose from your house eventually, but you know, because it's going to be putting out voltage there. If you go walking close to it, you're going to get zapped outside the house even. So anyway, these are just things that I've been talking with people about over the last week or two here. They've been emailing and calling and saying,
good, you know, good. I'm glad people are interested. Yeah, I did that. I hooked up the main power in the ground and stuff over at my neighbor's house because I didn't want to get zapped. He didn't know it, but you know. But no, folks, take this seriously, man. I mean, you're right. This stuff, this is upon us right now. The sun, the threats from outside forces, man, it could a lot of damage.
Let's continue on that vein. We can jump down. Normally, I hit solar stuff at the last, but start looking at slide 37, Eric, the green heliograph, which shows about 2/3 of the solar surface, you know, behind and a little bit ahead, and what's in front of us. If you click on the picture, it'll bring up a larger picture of this. And you can see in this picture taken showing the active regions on the sun, there is a dirty, big, nasty cluster of sunspots that are not small. They're big ones all lumped together. So it doesn't matter how many there are, it's the surface area. And you can see that, you know, this spot here that solar physicists are all concerned about. It's doing things that we didn't expect. It's putting out heavy, heavy flares and CMEs. I've been watching it now for a couple of days. In about 3 days maximum, it's going to be aimed at the Earth, the upper part of it. So we'll if it bursts out in our direction, we'll probably only get the bottom half of the halo, the cloud coming from that tortoise with the charged particles and stuff to make the CME. If you look at the left part of that picture there, the sun is very active. If you look at the right part, going around out of sight because that satellite that shows that is dead now. But there's a lot of activity going around the back. I'm going to come around and visit us again. Now, in slide 38, the one next to it, what the NASA Solar Dynamic Observatory does is it collects images from the sun in three, in this case, three different wavelengths, and those are angstroms, 211/193/171. If you click on the picture of 38, Eric, that's showing us how intense this cluster is in the upper left of the picture. It's those lines are magnetic field lines that loop out from the surface of the sun and back in. And they're all, you know, the majority of them are coming from that spot on the upper left. And there's another couple of them in the southern hemisphere that are looping together, which is a rather interesting spread, you know, for the magnetic field to go that close to the equator of the sun and down to the polar region. There's just all kinds of nonsense happening on this, you know, on the sun. In slide 39 here, it says, given our planet's ever waning magnetic field, in other words, our magnetic field is just dying on the planet. It's been rapidly dying. Among other forcings, outbursts from the sun are having a greater and greater impact here on the ground. Field strength of the magnetic field is the biggest threat to our modern tech-driven civilization. Earth's magnetosphere protects us from bombardments of cosmic radiation. It stands that if a big enough plasma discharge were to occur, say from the sun, or if Earth had a weak enough shield, it would lead to a total failure of the global electrical grid. And if you think we got troubles now, add the failure of electricity to the entire planet, except for battery backups and stuff like that. There's going to be rioting, gangs, attacks on countries. It is going to put the cat amongst the pigeons. So, yeah, look at the picture on that slide 38. Look at the picture of that. Yeah. You can see that there are two groups actually merged into one there, those two dark blue things. Look, any of you that have been watching these things, you don't even have to be a solar physicist. You can see that that's not happy times. That's a very active and a very, you know, threat-filled sunspot region, active region. Let's see here. And this is getting worse. I mean, you know, we're seeing reports here and there, you know, Space Weather gives it to NOAA, to NASA. And they're saying this solar sunspot cycle 25 is really unusual. And it's way ahead of where it should be. So, you know, it's over 230% of what they had predicted. So we have to realize that when the experts out there are saying we're not sure, that it's time for you to pay attention and try to make up your own mind about these things and see if you can prepare for the worst. And that failure of the electrical grid, even if it's just the United States, is the worst as far as I'm concerned for us. In slide 40, it's talking about this active region that we've been looking at, which unleashed an X1 flare on April the 17th. What was that, a couple of days ago? It's just beginning. It may be just the beginning. This flare X1, it's the top range of flares. X is the top range. And so they're saying this may be the beginning of things starting to get really intense on the sun and then hence toward the Earth. The Astereo A, which is one of two spacecraft that they use to look at the backside of the sun, the Astereo B is dead, as I was telling you a while ago. Astereo A is monitoring another potentially large active region right behind it. And we're looking at the one that's active, you know, that I've just showed you in the other three slides. But there's another one coming behind that, and it's not a small one. Now, an X-class solar flare and CME could be coming from not only this active region, but the one behind it. And it's going to be only about 5 days behind this one. The CME from this won't hit Earth. It'll graze us at the top part of the hemisphere. On April 17th, the sunspot complex appeared and promptly exploded. Now, click on the picture. It's a very short GIF file to show you this huge eruption coming out of the southern dot. There are two of them, remember, but the southern blue spot threw this out.
I believe that's what we're watching. Am I right?
Yeah, that's it. That's okay. It. Yeah.
All right.
And if you click on the text, it'll take you to the source of the article, which is spaceweather.com. And what I just told you about it and more in the text is there around that. So you can click on the text and get to spaceweather.com and see what the article is. Now, in spaceweather.com, there's another photo down the lower down showing those two spots that I showed you that were dark blue down in slide 39. Well, in slide 41, in the spaceweather.com article, it gives you a bigger picture of that. And you can either click on the text and go to the page again, or click on the picture itself and see these large sunspots. It's like I was telling you last week, the week before, the high sunspot number or count is one thing. And if you look at the forecast and even what's actually happening, the number of sunspots that they're recording are, you know, not as bad as they've been, you know, say in 1958 in a geophysical year. They were a lot higher in number. But if you look in this picture, there's two sunspots there whose surface area is worth more than all the other spots you're looking at there. The surface area is where these emissions come from. And this whole area is weakened. And I think it's because the hydrogen fuel level is low and getting lower by the second. And at one point, we might even see the surface of the sun unravel to and invert, throw off a lot of matter, which forms a kind of a cloud around the sun. Now, the traditional physicists will say, no, not going to happen for a billion years. Eventually it will, but not for a billion years. And just understand that the way they tell the age of things in the universe is so horribly wrong as far as the amount of time taken for things to take place. This is going to happen within 1,000 years, and it's going to probably happen some of this within 10 years or less.
Wow, or less.
Or less.
And folks, again, it's not a sales pitch for the EMP shield, but it's a reason, right? So there you go. I mean, what other reasons do you need? Look at those pictures. Very interesting. So instead, back in 58, for example, instead of getting hit by, I don't know, two Vespas, and you're driving your 76 Chevy Caprice and you get hit by a couple of Vespas, and now you're driving a Prius and getting hit by a couple of semis, right? Or one semi as opposed to it. So, I mean, the damage will be significantly higher despite the lower number. That's what you're saying, I think.
Yeah. It's misleading. And they, of course, don't want to worry people too much, but they want to tell the people who are thinkers and preparers, this is the situation, and dig deep into this and realize that the moment is coming that you've been preparing for. The last 48 hours on the sun. Wow. I mean, look, slide 42. I think if you click on the picture, click on the picture in slide 42. That gives you the last 48 hours of the sun in this particular wavelength, 193 angstroms. And just looking at this, you can see that it's cooking. It's very active. It's now on the 18th, and you see that region moving around. You can feel the menace from those flames and flares coming out of that thing. Anyway, it's busy. It's really busy way early in the cycle. So I can't stress it enough. We're going to see some surprising activity from the sun. That's not only going to surprise us, but going to surprise the experts who are supposed to be telling us what's happening.
Oh, man. All right. Never a dull day on the sun. Okay.
No. Let's get up to a couple things up the top at slide 58 about Joe Biden being, in fact, even, you know, Hunter Biden being what they call Manchurian candidates. Now, you and I know what that is. Saw the movie The Manchurian Candidate, where the Chinese brainwash this guy so intensely that he becomes their, you know, their pawn to do bad things in the United States. And probably without even realizing that he's been brainwashed. But this picture here in slide 58, you see Easter bunny ears coming up behind Biden in the picture. And that caught my attention immediately because, you know, it's an Easter bunny behind him that's got his hand in his jacket moving his lips or what, you know. It's a perfect shot for a Manchurian candidate being controlled by somebody. Now, the Easter bunny there represents, in my opinion, China. See, even the Democrats believe that China has compromised our president. And that's why they're in droves leaving the Democratic Party and going toward the Republicans or to independents. They, as brainwashed as they are about, you know, give me, give me, give me, they realize, like rats discerning a sinking ship, we got to leave Biden and all this behind us. We got to get out of it. He's killing us. Well, in my opinion, he's probably already killed us, but we're going to have to to slow down the impact as we collapse as a country.
You know, anyway. And part of this too, that's why I've written about and spoken about the Hunter Biden laptop so many times. If you go to WisconsinChristianNews.com, subscribe and donate to Wisconsin Christian News. But the fact of the matter is, there's evidence there where Biden has directly received money from communist Chinese interests in businesses. Hunter is the bag man in that case. Joe Biden is the recipient. And, of course, they were selling access. This Obama knew about this. And in some cases, Obama somewhat, if he didn't look the other way, he facilitated it or the other way around. But, yes, so and the incident with the bunny rabbits during that, whatever that was, Easter egg roll or something outside.
Yeah.
That was something where, I mean, that was, you could look at that a couple of different ways in my view. Obviously Joe Biden wandered over to a group of people, started answering questions about Afghanistan withdrawal and current events, and the bunny acting as his handler, and it very well could be, you know, with respect to even Chinese interests, having symbolically anyway. But to see a cartoon-like dressed bunny rabbit stop a supposedly the most powerful guy in the world from answering questions and redirect him or direct him elsewhere. Yeah, Manchurian candidate. That covers it in a number of different ways, as well as the show that, I mean, I can't imagine what other countries think of this, of Joey two Scoops or Joey Six Plugs or whatever. But there it is. Go ahead.
There we have Obama sitting in the wings, and there are a number of paths that he could take and the Democratic Party could take to get him into the driver's seat as a vice president. And possibly even President Pro Tem, if something else happens. But you know, Obama and all those like him in other countries, you know, leaders that are left wing socialists and communists, you got to wonder: are they stupid or what? Are they gamblers? I mean, they're turning over their countries. You know, they're destroying their countries in favor of this new world order. And, you know, there's going to be a day of reckoning for them, all except one who's going to be an Antichrist leader of that world government. All the others are going to get killed or, you know, taken out of power, you know, and put into poverty. They don't realize that what they're helping put in is going to kill them, too, and their children, one way or another. You know, they must have a lot of faith in whoever's running the show behind the scenes. And suppose it's Satan's man, you know, the Antichrist. Smooth tongue, you know, silver tongue guy, he may be convincing all these world leaders to follow his lead because A, it's going to be great and wonderful. Here's the game plan. I'll take care of you. But we know that Satan is a smooth talker, and his man here is going to be a smooth talker, the Antichrist. So
yeah.
Anyway, I'm going down a rabbit hole there, but I just, wow.
I think it's an important rabbit hole to explore, especially for us as Christians. Go ahead.
On slide 59, there's an alert here. The Democrats are already infiltrating polling places and polling positions and offices, getting ready for the 2024 election. And I'm sure that some of this is going to affect 2022. But it says a Democratic group has launched a three-year program to recruit and train 5,000 candidates for local offices in charge of administering elections. Wow. Politico reported on the effort Monday, saying the program would recruit candidates in 35 states for everything from county probate judges in Alabama to county clerks in Kansas and county election board members in Pennsylvania, all offices that handle elections and will be on voters' ballots between now and 2024. Boy, they're not subtle. They're going for things to control the vote again. And when you've got that many, if they get into office, that's another thing. If they get into office, I don't think we're going to have a fair election or even close to one in 22 or 24. Anyway,
it goes back to, you know, we didn't take care of the 2020 fraud and the people who say, oh, the it was litigated and it was disproven. No, it wasn't. You know, it was just what the media told you, and there was nothing like what really happened in reality. So we didn't fix that. We're not going to. I don't have much hope for 2022 or 2024. I think I really don't. And that's why I began the program, just to let you know. I believe that, Stan, it was 247 years ago today, Lexington and Concord. I believe we're headed for that moment again, for a number of reasons. So, you know, here we are. People will die. There's going to be people who are going to be murdered because of the tactics of the left. And, there it is. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm still working with my accountant because they screwed up my tax applications for the government and the state. And so, I'm going to have to file a late return sometime later this week. And I'm thinking to myself while I'm going through 120 pages of filing stuff, why am I doing this and paying taxes to these people who are killing me?
I'm right there with you for different reasons. I'm still working on my taxes as well because of some issues. I was getting the numbers together for the account, I'm thinking, why? When am I, I'm right there with you.
Yeah. All right. Let's get on. I'm dragging my heels here. Elon Musk, slide 60. I had a bit of a chuckle. He's worth $255 billion at the moment and richest man in the world. And he's going to take over Twitter, and he's playing with the board of directors of Twitter, saying, well, if I take over, I'm just going to make sure that we don't pay you guys a salary, because, you shouldn't get a salary for what you're doing. You part-time people, you come in and do a bit of work and then go home. You don't work full-time as directors. So we'll save the company $3 million. And by saying this, of course, he's irritating them, frightening them. So they're going to do knee-jerk reactions to this kind of stuff. And then the common shareholders in Twitter, the everyday person, they're going to think, wow, this guy's really already starting to save us money, in Twitter. And he's a sharp shooter. We ought to support his bid, and maybe we can throw our shares in with him for this takeover bid. And he is an incredible, chess player in this game. And he smiles a lot, but I tell you what, you better watch your pockets when he's coming after your company. And I'd like to see him get in there and, get it so that you can have an edit button to edit your tweet and get rid of it because you didn't mean to say it, or the voice to text thing said the wrong thing. And I'd like to see it get in there so that we can have a reasonably open forum to say, give our opinions. The current situation is totally skewed one way. And it's so much so that you think it was probably done by the swamp, the deep state. It was probably done on purpose to drive us to the point of, we've got to have a different system, not only on Twitter, but on the political way we run our planet and countries and cities, law enforcement. All these things, I think, are being done to us, in case we were, asleep or something, to shock us into saying, oh, we better do something here. Somebody better do something. We'll support a new world order, to get rid of all those bad guys, those Illuminists and the bankers and greedy people. And so people will cheer as they collapse these Illuminists and not realize there's another play ahead, or two or three on the chessboard, which are going to really get us too. But anyway, I digress.
I think that's a, I don't know if that's a digression. I think that's a perfect summation. I think that we need to fight not on their terms, but on our terms in order to really win. But then, we're fighting against this globalist hydra that has infiltrated all of our society. So, it's going to get pretty dicey, that's for sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, let's get on to some other things. We're talking about global situations. In slide 55, it's an article about Africa, and it comes from the Jerusalem News Source, or Israel 365 News. And they're telling about an unprecedented plague of locusts on Passover hit Africa. Now, mainly it hit South Africa. You'll see if you get into the article. And it's a potential sign to them saying it's a sign of the Messiah. Jewish sources predict that all of the plagues will reappear in the final redemption, but even more powerful in more powerful forms. These plagues they're talking about are the plagues that Moses, you know, wished upon Egypt. In the Midrash, the Tanakhuma, the homiletic teachings, and collected around the 15th century, they say, just as God struck the Egyptians with 10 plagues, so too will he strike the enemies of the Jewish people in the times of redemption. Now, the sources for this, it is written in Midrash, which is kind of common, you know, colloquial things rather than dictated by God. These are records of people writing about things and interpreting the Torah and so forth. So it may or may not be true, but they're expecting their Messiah, Jesus, but they're not expecting him because he's already come and gone, and they didn't accept him. So they're going to accept a fake one coming. And so even though they say, you know, pay attention to biblical teachings and stuff, they're not understanding what they're doing. They're going to be calling for an Antichrist Messiah. But these plagues are happening, and so there are a lot of things that will kind of underscore or support this new quote-unquote Messiah that's coming for the world. I'm sorry that it has to be that way, but the Bible says that they will be stiff-necked until the point that they're not, and they'll suddenly realize and that Jesus is the Messiah, and that they did, you know, deny him and kill him or allow him to be killed in those days. Anyway, we're getting close to that. Now, in addition to like the plagues of locusts and things like that, the weather played an important part. Various things, you know, with water turning to blood and stuff like that. But we're looking also at changes in our climate, which is, we're going to see hailstorms with huge, 50-pound, 57-pound hailstones coming down. And we're going to see extra plagues other than just the 10 that Moses gave or authorized over Egypt. In slide 56, it links to a video and an article by the guy Wigington. I guess you've probably followed Dane Wigington's work before about problems with chemtrails and all that hitting our ozone layer. And it's just showing how close we are to the collapse of the ozone layer because of the magnetic field of the Earth weakening to the point where it can't support, you know, the electric field to maintain the ozone layer. And this will leave us without an ozone layer for, you know, probably a year or two as it starts to rebuild when the magnetic poles shift to the new location and start to gain strength again. He says, Dane says in his video and his article, that he thinks that it's not the sun that's a problem causing the sun to get brighter and, we get more sunburns and stuff. Ultraviolet is increasing. He says it's the ozone layer failure only. And I disagree with him on that point, but I do like the rest of his research. And I state down there that I can see the sun is malfunctioning. It is in a state of change that is bad for us. It's throwing things at us that are affecting our entire atmosphere, not just the ozone layer. So, you know, I put his article up because, as I say, from the perspective of the ultraviolet and the ozone shielding, I agree with him, but not the total cause of it. The cause, I think, is back to the sun. The sun drives everything in our solar system. It's just the major power source. Anyway.
All right. Yeah, Dane Wigington has done a lot of great work, and of course, subject to scientific nudging once in a while in terms of different reasons. But okay.
Yeah. Yeah. 57, an interesting thing here. NASA has discovered a massive comet heading this way in our own solar system, and it is literally almost twice as large as the state of Rhode Island. It's larger than Florida, the Florida island, and heading this way at 22,000 miles per hour. Okay, but don't worry, it says. It won't get closer than a billion miles from the sun, slightly further out than Saturn, so, you know, it's not going to come near us. But we're discovering things all the time, and one of the more dangerous ones types are meteorites, not comets. meteorites that come not only from our Kuiper belt in our own solar system, but from deep in the heart of our galaxy, the Milky Way. Now, those asteroids or meteors, they can get up to 130,000, 150,000 miles an hour. And at that speed, little tiny ones can do a lot of damage. You know, a foot and a half, 2 foot diameter ones, they can really cause damage. I mean, that's like 700 and some odd times the energy. Let me just see here. Well, it says here in the article that it's 170 times the speed of sound is that speed, but I'm looking for the energy of it. If you click on slide 54 in the article, it's one of those things that was covered up by the government, and it's now coming out from 2014, 8 years before they get release most of the stuff, but part of it's still classified about this deep galactic source of an asteroid or a meteor. In this case, it's a meteor. It's fairly tiny, but why did they hide this? Why is it classified? Because those kind of things we don't see until they're on top of us. They're coming in and they're not following orbital patterns and things like the other things that we can track, gravitational orbits and look for them. This one comes like a bullet. What's called a hyperbolic orbit comes into our solar system and either stays by hitting something or exits a long way out. And it's in the article, I guess, you've got the article picture there. Okay. They declassified the documents of this asteroid or a meteor, a small meteor that they found. Eyewitnesses said that it was an exploding fireball that flew over Papua New Guinea. And wasn't there some guy like had a dream vision or prophesied that there was going to be an asteroid or large meteor, but an asteroid maybe, hit off the coast of somewhere? Was it Cuba and going to affect the United States, the Southwest? Wasn't that a couple years back?
Yeah, I seem to recall that. Yes.
Well, okay, this wasn't the one, if in fact the guy's prophecy is correct, but it does give you pause thinking, okay, this came out of nowhere and it hit, you know, with such huge energy for such a small thing. Maybe in that same vector, there are going to be others coming from the galactic center, you know, of our galaxy that will strike our solar system and particularly Earth. So where that one hit, if you spin the globe around a little bit, you're going to be hitting close to where that guy saw the prophecy of where it strikes the ocean and causes damage in the western and southwestern United States. Huge damage. Anyway, when I saw this article, that sprung to mind. But you still have to ask yourself, why are they still classifying some of the data they gathered after this impact? Is it because there are going to be more coming? You see what I'm saying?
Good question, yeah.
It's a tiny thing, and of course, it blew up in the atmosphere. You know, it was a fireball, so okay, it threw shards everywhere, but that wouldn't be a thing to classify as far as I'm concerned. It's what they found out about what's coming behind it, I think. Anyway. Well, cheery news. Cheery news.
Yeah.
And I like to see the underdog win. And in this case, in the Middle East, Israel is the underdog against Iran and all the Arab nations that are armed against it. And the Israeli Defense Forces, well, the research company behind it all, it's called Rafael, and they have developed a laser system that, you know, you might think, it's a laser. I've seen those in, you know, the Star Wars movies, and big deal. But if you look at it, this laser, the building for it, or the tank, truck, or whatever they're calling the enclosure for it on treads, this thing is only about, 30 feet long or something. For those of you who studied high energy lasers, you know that gas discharge lasers like CO2, carbon dioxide lasers, they have to be a multiple of like that atomic weight thing there. I think it was 32 feet for a carbon dioxide laser. Very unwieldy. It's a straight laser. This laser is made with a fiber laser, which is fiberglass. And the unique things about this kind of a laser are that you can bend it. You don't have to have it straight pointed. It can be flexible so that you can schedule. Whoops, sorry, I forgot to do that. There he goes. It's flexible, and you can compact it down to a small package and loop it, you know, coil it, and it's still going to shoot that laser out where you point it. And I think, let's see here, is that the, that's the, you can click on the picture and get a big picture, but of slide 52, but on slide 52 in the top part of the text, if you go to that article, there is a video right there, right in front of you, which is a short video if you want to look at it, which shows the test of this, which was done, I think, last year. And it shows how this thing locates small objects, flying objects, big objects, whatever, and tracks them, locks in on them, and shoots a laser pulse so powerful that it causes them to burn up or crash or, you know, not do their job. It's a great defensive weapon. I can see where you're going to go over the edge there. That's good. And down there at the bottom of that screen is where the facility is. See how small it is?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
This is a mighty development in warfare. I'm looking as your picture zooms out. Now they're gonna locate several things here. This is the demonstration to the military heads and some politicians there at Israel to see this new toy. And here we go. There's a launch of something, a mortar or something, and it's going to track it. And goodbye.
Huh.
I mean, that's mighty. I mean, having played with lasers and stuff, you know, in the past, I just think the power of this is just absolutely stunning. There hits another thing up in the sky above them.
Mm.
This is an Iron Dome that's, yeah, great. And then there's a drone that hits as well. Anyway, that's the video is just showing us, and you'll see at the end of all these tests that there's a round of applause from the people because it is such an important development that they can put a ring of these around Israel on the border. There they go. Big claps, because they can really have a defensive system that will stop a lot of what's coming in. Thousands and thousands of missiles that the terrorists, the Palestinians, whoever, are going to be launching at them. They've been stocking up a lot of stuff to get ready. Probably a lot of stuff that we made and left in Afghanistan. But at any rate,
true.
This, I know why they're clapping and cheering, because, you know, it's like saying, well, we have a chance against the bad guys. Bad dudes.
So that's designed as a defensive weapon.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Right. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And you can read both articles. That slide next to it there, slide 53, is more on it from a different perspective, but it's just really quite interesting. Yeah. Over in Ukraine, what was it, a week or so ago, maybe two, I'm not sure when it was, but the Moskva naval vessel that the Russians had over there, and it was docked down toward Odessa somewhere. It was docked, and it got attacked by Ukrainian, soldiers. And out of several hundred of the crew, only about 50 or 60 have been found. There's a picture of the slide 50. You can see it's burning, and it was going to sink. Well, it was one of the biggest naval losses anywhere in the world since World War II, not just for Russia, but anywhere. Mm. Now, you go over to the slide 51 and you click on the picture, you'll see what the thing looked like when it was healthy, not blowing up. And notice those tubes under the word or the number 121. There are a bunch of launch tubes there. And then if you go back to the slide and to the text, you get comments like this about nuclear potential, that they thought there might have been two nuclear warheads on that ship. And this is probably why it was so important to bring it down. Defense Express all warned today that the Moskva was designed to carry warheads, which could be fitting into the nose cones of the supersonic P-1000 missiles. That's what you're seeing the launch tube. These are designed to take out American aircraft carriers. On board the Moskva could be nuclear warheads, two units, they said. Where are these warheads? Where were they when the ammunition exploded? I don't know. Did it throw dirty air around the place, you know, like all the radiation stuff that it put up in the atmosphere, what the prevailing winds like and stuff? So whether it nuked them or not, did that lose a lot of radioactive material? It's what they're implying by this article. So you can see why it was important to take it down. I agree with that. You've heard me talk and others talk over the years about the Lagrange points, you know, stable orbits, Lagrange points.
Yes.
Now, the guy that developed this mathematics and this way to analyze where stable orbits are was Joseph Louis Lagrange, who he was originally Italian. Then he went over and joined France and the academy there and spent his last 20 years there developing all kinds of mathematical formulas and solutions to things. In 1760s, right about the time America was forming, he's over there developing the mathematics that we need for space travel, orbital calculations, and putting things in stable orbit, and much more. I mean, like, he did like 15 or 16 major developments, which even led to Einstein stuff with the unified field theory. So he's an unsung hero, but what he determined as far as Lagrange points was this. Here's the Earth. Well, up there's the Earth. There. That's the Earth. And related to the Sun, which is a mass bigger than it, if a bigger mass in a gravitation with our planet, if a bigger mass is 24.95 times, about, say, 25 times the mass or better than, say, the Earth, then it will form two places before and after our orbit around the Sun, where you can park a satellite and the gravitational forces between these two bodies will keep these satellites locked in that position without having the station keep, you know, without having to keep maintaining their position. They are automatically locked into these Lagrange stable orbit points. And they travel, you know, in this case, around the Sun. Now, between us and the Moon, we're many times greater than the mass of the Moon and enough to qualify for this calculation he made for a Lagrange stable point. So if you looked at the Moon, 60 degrees this way, 60 degrees that way out there between us and the Moon, there would be a stable or two stable points to park a satellite or space station or whatever, and it'll just stay there all by itself, and you don't have to station keep it to keep it from collapsing into the Moon or the Earth. This is just, you know, a cool guy. And I tell you these things because I was looking at slide 46. The Biden administration just pledged not to conduct destructive anti-satellite missile tests in space, and it wants other nations to follow suit. Kamala Harris' comment came a few months after a Russian anti-satellite test in November 2021 that created a debris cloud so large that the International Space Station had to move out of the way, and that's not the first such incident by any means. In 2013, for example, a Russian satellite was hit by debris spawned 6 years earlier by a Chinese anti-satellite test. Now, just because you say, let's get along, guys, let's call it not fair if you're putting anti-missile or anti-satellite missiles or satellites themselves up into various places in orbits to take out specific satellites. Now, this is crazy. I mean, we've known for, gosh, 40 years, 50 years even, that a grain of sand traveling at relative speeds of 34,000 or 35,000 miles per hour can make a deep hole in an aluminum block that's like 4 or 5 inches thick. It'll tunnel right into it. And that's just one grain of sand. So if you took a satellite up and parked it in some orbit where you could change its position, its orbital position, and it had a bunch of sand on board, you could blow that cloud of sand up and in contra orbit to the orbits of the satellites that you want to kill. And it will just sweep through this dust cloud at that huge relative speed. Will just destroy satellites one after the other. Now there are places where, like 25,000 miles out from Earth, we have orbits of our deep space orbits of communications devices and things, which are they're easier targets because you can spot them and track them out. There's not so many of them, but as you get closer to the surface of the Earth, a few hundred miles out to a few thousand, there are several zones, and whether China does it, Russia does it, or we do it, you know, when you release debris, you blow up a satellite, it becomes like a big chunk of sand crystals, you know, in orbit, and they will spread out because the explosion takes them out of their orbit, you know, and back and forth in the existing orbit. It's just another sign that we've got nincompoops running the country at the moment. They need to have ways to counteract these attempts to destroy our key satellites. And basically, about the only thing you can do with that is to have some kind of orbiting shield of for your satellite ahead of its position, just a little bit, to block, you know, sand-type particles and stuff. That won't block China using one of the type of missiles they have now, or satellites, which can go up, park near where it wants to hit a particular satellite, and use a laser, bang, destroy the satellite without even taking it down, just fuse its instrumentation. So this is a major thing. You know, communications, GPS systems, all this is going to fail no matter who does it out there. And we've got thousands of pieces of dead satellites out there, debris, tens of thousands of chunks out there, which, you know, we really need to clean out. But to do that, you have to have a world government and a sane way to use a broom out there and sweep out all the junk so that it doesn't pose a hazard to not only the satellites, but to crews going up to a new space station or going translunar or going to the moon, things like that. Anyway,
yeah. Amazing problems that we're seeing. Okay.
Well, in Slide 58, China says its new system can help hack satellites in orbit. So whether they blast them out of orbit, if they can hack them, they can change their station keeping or destroy their data links and stuff like that. So that's what they're admitting now. And they've tested it successfully on a U.S. satellite, it says in the article there in Slide 48. We're in deep, deep trouble. Deep trouble. Boy, deep trouble. How much time we got left?
We've got about 3.5 minutes.
Okay. Quickly, Slide 44 is a bit of a fun one. They're showing some tests that were done on the space station where NASA used a hollow doctor, like in the Star Trek thing, Star Trek Voyager. They had a hollow doctor, emergency medical response doctor. That was a hologram. Mm-hmm. And you'll see in that picture, what they've got in that picture is in the white coat there is a hollow doctor that wasn't there on the space station, but he could be there, and people who had the glasses, the special glasses, would look and see him, and they could then prescribe treatments for various wounds or things there on board the space station, which is really cool.
Okay. Right? Wow. All right.
Well, it's like having a virtual doctor that you can call up on the space station, and the future, if you have a craft that's got a link, a data link like that, you could do it on board with a bigger computer. And this object is easier to relate to, as this production is, and to explain your situation and to get direction about where you want to do things. Eventually, they're going to use that robotic connection to the hologram doctor. And so that even though his hands are moving, they're not touching the robot that's doing your surgery or whatever on a crew member, but it would look like that.
Interesting.
And it's a fun thing. Slide 43, you know about the lightsabers and things? There's a Stanley there. You can click on the picture and see me in my, get up. It's when I was playing Obi-Wan Deo for the kids. But the article says that there's a company that has actually built it's not as strong as the ones in Star Wars, but it's built a plasma jet injector from a handheld thing with the gas supply, and has been able to cut metal and weld with it like a lightsaber for real, except it was, you know, a little bit smaller and a lot less powerful and things like that. You'd be going forever to try to cut down a tree with it. But anyway, I thought that was kind of cool to actually see that somebody has taken fiction and made a real lightsaber, as we have a real hollow doctor next to it. And that's all. That's all.
Well, you know, for somebody that's hard to buy for, there you go. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stan Dale from standale.com. Stan, you really packed it in today, man. That was a great, great information download, and I appreciate that. You know, kind of a taste of what you get along with the conversation and Stan on their Patreon. So thank you. Appreciate it. Appreciate you. All right. Folks, bye-bye. Have a great night. That was Stan Dale from standale.com. Make sure you bookmark his website and support Stan's work.